Hello, rap fans. It's Richard Herring here. Thank you for listening to my podcasts, powered by Acast Plus. Do tell your friends if you think they might enjoy them too. And do come and see me on tour in my show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all tour dates, going to lots of places in the UK. Some extra gigs added in London at the Leicester Square Theatre and the Bloomsbury Theatre. The Leicester Square Theatre first gig is very nearly sold out, so do rush along to those shows, London, if you want to come along. Some of the shows selling fantastically well, some of them selling pretty badly. Hello, Swindon. Do you know I'm coming to your town? Please buy some tickets. And I do have to give a trigger warning. I've done the show only a few times and 6 men have passed out. After the bit where I explain what happens to you during an operation for testicular cancer. So, are you man enough to handle my balls? Only come if you are, have lots of balls and are not scared of balls. There is some mild testicle trauma involved in this story of testicular cancer. It's mainly funny, though, and if you don't come, that means you're scared to come, and I'm going to judge you, so... It's like going on a fairground ride, so do come along. It's going to be very exciting to see if you make it through. I'll give you a badge if you make it through unscathed. Anyway, come and see the tour, richardherring.com for all that news. Some great Rahalastapas coming up, I have to tell you, in the next few weeks. The tour was a lot of fun. Thanks very much to everyone who came. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my stupid fucking podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Newtown Theatre. Please welcome a man who is currently living his own personal Groundhog Day. It's Richard Herring! Hello, man alive, how are you doing? Hello, welcome to the podcast. It's a podcast, some people don't realise. It's actually today, it's called Richard Herring's Lady Spencer's Tragedy Podcast. You've got to find a new... I've changed direction on every guest. I'm just going to talk about what the death of Lady Diana Spencer... It's weird not to call her Lady Di, isn't it? It's just an odd choice for the title. Talk about what the tragedy means to them. It's almost 22 years to the day since she died. It's quite serious. I hope you're ready for some quite serious heart... tear-jerking stuff. I don't care, really. one way or the other. I was talking to the busker who stands on the meadow as I walk past every day singing I Really Hate Busking. I don't know if you've seen that guy. He calls it Rahalastapas. I don't know if that's going to catch up. Seriously, I'm just like, my day, it's become so like clockwork that it is that ground. Every time I walk through the meadows, see the same people, get to that busker, he's singing the same song every time I pass him. And it's all about him hating busking. I go, well, don't busk. But he recognises me because he sees me at the same time every day. And he said, yeah, it's my best selling, it's the one I get the most money for. It's the one. I said, I like busking, really. But if I don't get out of this Groundhog Day soon, I am going to punch the fucker in the face. So that's just how I'm feeling. It's good. Maybe if I live the day correctly, I'll be allowed to go home. We'll see how long. I just hope it's tomorrow. There's always just an argument with my wife just before I leave the house as well. That's always the fun part, being up here with two kids. Not enough sleep, but I'm not complaining. This is the only good bit of my day, so thank you for coming. I'm very happy to be here.
It's 100% childcare. They're lovely, lovely kids. And when I say I wish my son was dead, I only half mean it. It's only a kind of a joke. And I went to see a show yesterday with my family. I rushed off from the venue yesterday. You may remember a couple of days ago, I went to see a show with my wife, and even though I played at the George Square Theatre, I thought George Square was the square at the end of George Street and went to the wrong place after 25 Edinburghs. That's quite a newbie mistake, quite an embarrassing error. Luckily, we got to the show in time. Yesterday, I rushed off to the Pleasance to see Wallace and Gromit's musical Adventures or something it's called. It's brilliant, an orchestra and Wallace and Gromit. And I really looked it. I thought, I can't go wrong again. I'd looked it up, and I'd got the page, and it said the Pleasance, and it said the address of the Pleasance. I got there and asked for my tickets. They said, you know, it's the EICC, don't you? And so we had to then crap. My wife was a bit late. She turned up, and she was surprisingly okay about it. Two for two. We were 15 minutes late. It was still a very good show. Do go and see that if you like Wallace and Gromit and orchestras. I mean, it's for children, really. You know, that's most of my recommendations are. So anyway, let's crack on. We've got two very interesting and fabulous guests today. My first guest is probably best known as the postman on Special Delivery, and I'm annoyed because I do the postman job. I get to play postman and sex offenders. Those are my two acting roles, mainly postmen that are sex offenders in some way. So I'm very cross that he got this job. Will you please welcome Sundam Patel, ladies and gentlemen? How are you doing?
I've started drinking again.
Have you?
So, yeah, it's going super well. Yeah.
Yeah, I've not started. I haven't had a drink all year, so
wow.
I've managed to get through Edinburgh so far, mainly because I'm not able to go out anywhere. So that's
right.
Part of the.
I started 6 hours after I got off the train. Here, so yeah, it's good.
It's quite weird doing Edinburgh without alcohol.
I've never done it before.
No,
I tried.
I don't think anyone has. I think I might be the first. Even alcoholics are allowed to drink during Edinburgh, and they say, "No, we're not getting that back on."
I've got two cans of Magnus in my bag now. So that's the stage we've got to.
Yeah, this could be the moment to try it. My wife would be delighted if I turned back of the house. Piss. She will be very pleased. What was the Special Delivery? Remind us what that there was a short film.
It was a short film my friend made with a Nikon camera. Yeah, I'm surprised
you
found
must have been
it.
The main role if it's a postman in Special Delivery.
Supporting cast, actually.
Okay,
yeah,
really.
So yeah, yeah, that was a very odd reference, actually. Yeah, that was years ago.
Yeah, well, I have to search.
Did I have a beard in that?
I haven't. I haven't
Super.
Watched it.
No, there's the only stuff of me online is me without a beard.
Yeah,
and it's I don't like it.
Okay,
it's weird. I look strange without this beard.
I've seen a few. Yeah, thinking about it. Yeah,
because it's like I've got a very round head.
Yeah,
I've got a very small nose, and very big eyes.
Yeah,
and without this beard, my friends' babies do stare at me. Why is that one so big? Do you know what I mean? So, I don't like it.
I've not shaved during the... My wife prefers me shaved.
Yeah.
All over. It's like a baby, everything, the whole... And bald head. But I haven't shaved during the whole... the fringe, and again, this is... that's how much...
It's going pretty well.
That's how big a beard I grow in 2.5 weeks.
It looks sort of French Revolutionary. It's that moustache. Yeah, I like it.
A little bit, yeah. I find it gets to this length. If I haven't got clippers with me, then I can't really shave.
Just leave it.
Yeah, so leave it until I get home. I've got some clippers at home. Yeah. Then bring them with me. Just some beard facts for you, right?
Beard chat.
No one promised it'll all be gold. But there's some beard fans that I'm going, oh, let's talk more about the beards, Rich.
You've got to get some oil for it, Rich.
I met my friend who works for Aardman, who was meant to get me free tickets to see Wallace and Gromit and then didn't, so I fucking had to pay as well. And I wasted 5 minutes trying to get my comps that weren't there. Thanks, Jim. He left all his beard oil at Bristol Airport when he flew up. So 80 quid's worth of beard oil.
80 quid's worth of beard oil?
He's got a very big beard.
You can actually just rub avocado on it.
Can you?
I mean, you can.
Is that why no young people can buy a house anymore in the 21st century? He's got avocado all over their face. Rub anything in it, don't you? Give it a go.
Yeah, should
work. It's a good emergency question, and I will add that to the list. So, I mean, like a lot of people, there's a lot of comedians. I mean, I'm slightly out of the loop with stand-up anyway. I think I haven't been up to Edinburgh every year recently. And there's a lot of people who sort of breaking through in the last two or three years, and you sort of think, oh, they must be quite new, but you've been going for quite a while.
So fucking long. Oh, I know, 8 years. I think that's a reasonable amount of time.
It is now. We were discussing this backstage, like if in the 90s, if someone had been going for 8 years and hadn't made it, you go, well, why haven't you given up? Or you either give up or you're famous, right? That was in the 90s, but now there's so many, there's 1,000 comedians.
I mean, there's
a 1,000 shows in Edinburgh.
Okay, true. Yeah, there's a lot of us.
Yeah.
But it's a different time, isn't it? Because you can, I think now you can do so many other things but stand up. Yeah. So you can call yourself a stand up, but you're doing loads of other stuff and sustaining yourself at the same time.
Yeah.
So no one pays me for my stand up.
Okay. I'm not paying you today. Right? And what were you? It's quite hard to find stuff out about you.
Yeah.
Partly because there's quite a lot of Sunil Patels.
Oh God.
There's quite
so
a few
many doctors.
Do you ever get confused with Sunil Patel, the cinematographer who shot campaigns for Pepsi, Samsung, and many other things in India? There's a hematologist from Boca Raton, in Florida.
Mm.
There's a Sunil Patel. I hope this is you. It's got a very bad website, as do you, actually. To be fair, who studies physics, loves gardening, and likes cats, even though he hasn't got one.
That piece of shit. Right, he's got all. He's got the website I wanted, which is just sunilpatel.com.
Yeah.
I want to get in touch with... he's such a nice guy, though.
He likes cats and he doesn't have a cat. Let's get him a cat. Maybe get him a cat and they'll give you the web address.
Has he updated his blog recently?
Not really. Well, I've noticed the front page of his website, most of it is still has the template text of, you know, when you make your own...
But it's something else.
There's a little bit about him and then just a load of stuff about something else on the front page.
It's way better than my website, that's for sure.
So it is quite different. You're a man of mystery.
Yeah.
So I don't know very much about you.
Okay.
So tell me about you. What were you doing before you became a stand-up comedian?
So much stuff. I was a journalist briefly. Then I was a professional gambler for a bit.
Mm.
And then I worked in the NHS.
What kind of gambling did you do?
Oh, I did horses first. Lost a lot of money.
Yeah.
So not very professional at that. And then I did currency trading for a few years.
Okay.
And I did that for a few years. And then I realised I was... not that great at that either.
Yeah.
But I sustained myself, and then I got a real job as a journalist for 3 weeks.
Okay.
Lasted 3 weeks working at the Express.
Okay.
I think what I was doing for three, I was compiling out of copyright pictures of glamour models from the 80s.
Okay.
For the Daily Star online.
Right.
Just so people would keep clicking. And I think I did a week on the Watford Observer, wrote one story about terrapins. And then
it was so good, you thought, I can't top that. I
was the first person to get the word malodorous into that paper ever. And that is that's it.
Right. Yeah.
And then
you must have been the only Asian person working at the Daily Express, wasn't you? Or did they just have you in to say, go home? Just go home.
Apparently it's one of the friendliest newsrooms in the country.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, very nice people.
Okay.
Everyone's very nice.
Oh, no, it's nice to hear that.
Yeah.
Because they're utter cunts online. When you actually pick up a paper and read it. Actually, they're by no means the worst. We did have Richard Osman on the other day, the Daily Express are just obsessed with, but it's just like your gran discussing what happened on Pointless yesterday. that's most of their coverage.
Yeah,
as far as I can see. So, I'm sorry to impugn the Daily Express. Just in case they write a review of the show. my granddad used to get the Daily Express, so I've got fond memories of his racism. And so it's awful.
I worry every time you look at that pad.
Yeah.
Because I'm just wondering what's coming up next.
Let's see. I enjoyed your review that came from the Scotsman in 2016 that says might be a psychopath.
Yeah, right? I like that.
Which you put on your website. Do you think you are a psychopath? You're quite a sort of downbeat... stand-up.
Yeah.
The stand-up I've seen online is great. You've got a really good persona.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's there's a darkness there, I suppose. Is there?
Yeah, I suppose there is. Like, I always think I'm having a lot of fun. I'm just doing fun stuff. And everyone's like, oh, don't say that. That's weird.
That's what psychopaths are like, though. They don't know what they're doing is inappropriate.
I thought psychopaths could pretend to be anyone. I thought they could, like, put a facade on. But that's all comedians, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there must be a higher proportion of psychopaths in...
I think it turns you into a psychopath.
Yeah.
I think you have to pretend so much.
Yeah, encourages the psychopaths. I can name one that I worked with for 10 years. No, I don't want to give his name out. Or her name.
Well, apparently all actors essentially turn into sociopaths.
Yeah.
Because they spend so much of their life pretending to be someone else and pretending they have those feelings.
Yeah.
That means they can replicate those emotions at any time in their life.
Yeah.
And they essentially lose any sense of self.
Wow. Michael Sheen seemed nice when I talked to him. Seemed okay. But maybe that's what he wanted me to think.
Yeah.
He's playing Chris Tarrant in Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, I read today. And they're doing a dark drama about Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I'm very excited.
They're doing a drama about Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
You know, there was a play. Let's talk about this. This is very exciting. It's not really our thing.
What project?
There was a play. Do you remember there was a play, like, in the theatre about the coughing major, whether he was guilty or not? I've interviewed him as well. I interviewed him on a poker show I did. I tried to be a professional gambler for a while as well. And he was him and his wife. I liked his wife. Big nose, something to hang on to. I like a big nose. I like a big nose in a woman. Some people don't like a big nose. Very sexy woman. And I would say they were definitely guilty. But I think the play leaves it up to the audience.
I thought he went to jail, didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, well, I don't know if he certainly had his life ruined.
Because it wasn't just him; it was the lecturer as well who was coughing in the audience.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that one, yeah.
I mean, when you watch it, it's hard to believe that he wasn't cheating, because he goes, well, I know it's definitely not this one. Although, on the other hand, it could be. I think I'll risk £500,000 on just taking a punt on this. Yeah.
How did they make a play out of that?
I think it's all about the investigations. It's very.
Oh, I see. Right.
I mean, maybe I should wait until...
Let's reserve judgment.
Well, until someone from that shows on the podcast.
Yeah, okay.
I'll get the coughing major back on. He cut off his... What did he do? He had a fly max, and I think he cut off like a load of his toes. Does anyone know that about the coughing major? That was my favourite fact about him. Might have been his fingers, which would be more impressive. But anyway, so you don't think you think you might be a psychopath? You don't think you are a psychopath?
I'm definitely not.
Definitely not a psychopath.
Because they wouldn't question it, would they? I was questioning if I was a psychopath.
That's true. But then, if you were a psychopath, you'd know. You'd have to question it. If you wanted to convince yourself you weren't a psychopath, you would question it.
It's very tough to get out of the trap now, isn't it?
And you've been working... Well, these are your TV credits. I had Bobby Mayer on the podcast. He hasn't been out yet. But you did Bobby and Harry Get Married. You've worked with them quite a lot.
I do. I work with Harry. I do a podcast with Harry.
Yes.
It's mainly just teenage girls listening to it.
Okay.
And then sometimes they come to my show and they're like, we don't want any of this. Thank
you. what's the podcast?
It started out... because she kept crying about random incidents in her life. And so we did it about... It's called Why Is Harriet Crying? And then it slowly turned into me just shouting at her for crying all the time.
Right.
So definitely not worth listening to in any way. But yeah, it was just... It's basically just an excuse for us to meet up every couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And as a result, we have very low listenership.
Yeah. But it's fun, though. It's nice to do that.
It's really nice,
those meeting up ones and just having a chat.
And then we get pressure put on us by our three fans
who
tweet us every now and then and say, where the fuck is the podcast? Sorry, please don't kill yourself.
Yeah. They're all podcast listeners are the worst
people. Should
we
edit that one out?
They're the worst people in the world, people who listen to podcasts. The most entitled, awful people. Oh, shit. We'll take this whole bit out. They'll never know. Are you in Staff Let's Flats, which is
that was fun.
What part did you play in that?
I played Phil Koo.
Okay.
Integral.
Yeah.
I was a pharmacist who played football with them for one day.
Okay.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it was 5 days of filming playing football for perhaps three words that I said, so it was definitely worth watching it for me.
We'll look out for you.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about your show.
Oh.
Which is called...
It's called White Knight. I regret that.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know what people expect from it. I think it's about how white people are nice. Is that weird to say? People find it pretty weird in the show. They're creeped out about it. I think white people are nice.
Some of them are nice.
I just don't think enough people are saying it. I'm an ally. That's what I'm saying. That's the kind of thing I'm saying. I think you're having a tough time and someone needs to stand up for you, so that guy is... I never talked about race on stage as a comedian because I never thought I had to. And then someone said to me, maybe you should just mention the fact you're not white.
Okay.
Because people are getting freaked out in the audience. And they're like, does he know? He hasn't said anything. So I thought I'd do an hour about it.
Just
so
to help people relax.
Just be like,
thank
yeah,
God
I
he does
like,
know.
I've
he
looked
does
in a mirror. It's all right. Yeah, just calm down. But yes, it's just fun.
And is it going well? Whereabouts? Tell us where it is.
It's in the Pleasance Courtyard at 8:30 every day. I'm having a lovely time.
Yeah.
I'm pretty surprised at just... I used to just hate Edinburgh.
Yeah.
I used to hate coming up here, and I knew it would be an ordeal, but this year is just really... I mean, it's just really relaxing. No one wants to hear that, though, do they? Yeah. I mean, yes, I've started drinking, as I said, but that, maybe that's helped, but yeah. I don't know.
Have you started taking heroin as well? Because that could explain it.
It's really relaxing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm so relaxed. It's great. It's great up here. They let you love a bit of heroin, don't you, Edinburgh? That's your your national drink. Not a bit of that back.
I'd love to try it one day.
Yeah. Well, you can probably get yourself. This is probably the ideal time to give it a go. Maybe before your day off. Have you got another day off before the end?
I feel like I'm on holiday anyway, okay. So I might as well try it out while I'm on holiday, and then I reckon I can get off it before I get back.
Okay.
Pretty straightforward.
And if you, are you a family man? Do you have? Are you married?
I have a family. Yeah. I have flatmates.
Yes.
And that's it. They're all comedians.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I live.
You live in London?
Live in London with a few comedians. I'm living here with more comedians. I just can't get away from
it. Yeah. Well, that is how it sort of goes in those early times.
You sort of isolate yourself from normal people.
Yes.
Yeah.
And start to think comedians are normal and that your behaviour is okay.
Well, I live with... Do you know Phil Ellis?
Yes.
Yeah, I live with him up here.
Okay.
It's just a bizarre... I've got a list on my phone of things he's never eaten. So far we've got avocado, tomato and salmon.
Wow.
Yeah.
Salmon,
that's pretty
impressive.
Yeah.
Because you're in his Radio 4 show.
I'm doing his Phil Ellis is Trying, which is out now. Very funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. I'm not an actor by trade, but I'm asked to often act. Normally just as myself, but in this I got there on the day and they said, can you just do all these voices?
Right.
And I said, no. And they said, just do the voices. So I've done some very bad voices on this radio show, so do listen into that.
Well, I'm great at voices. They should have got me in. I'm okay to doing inoffensive.
Can you do a radio announcer?
Hello, I'm on the radio.
Yeah,
how are you doing?
Good. Sounds good, yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a Scottish radio announcer. Hello, I'm on the radio! Those are my two voices that I can do. They're pretty good. And you worked with John Robbins.
I did.
And John was very complimentary about you as well when I talked to you about him. So
but being the internet is a lot of fun. That was my ideal gig. I'd get pushed onto stage on a desk. I'd say three words. I'd get pushed off again. And then I'd lie down in my dressing room eating Maltesers.
Okay.
Absolutely great gig.
That sounds like a good one. Has that been on yet, John?
It was on last year, It was interesting to see how seriously people take quizzes when they're on them.
Yeah, you can you don't need to tell me.
Oh. Just people losing their shit over not getting a Bluetooth headphones or something.
Yeah.
Just bizarre.
That's me.
But it was a lot of...
Well, I'd love a pointless trophy. That's all I want. That's all I want from life. Once I've got a pointless trophy. I've got a baked potato named after me now. So it's only that's the pointless trophy is all I've got left.
What's the attachment to it? Why do you really want it then?
Just to prove I'm good. It's pointless. Even though I've been in three times and
but
not
you're good at other stuff in life. You don't need
that's
that.
All I care about.
You have to... Yeah. Okay, all right. Okay.
I'd give up the younger child for a pointless trophy. I like the older one. It's unfashionable to say, isn't it? But you like the first one, don't you? You don't like the second. You know parents, isn't there? There's some parents here. The first one's great. They say, why did we do it again? My wife had a dream last night that we'd had twins as on top of the other two, and we both, even just from the dream, I wanted to kill myself. She was really upset. She was genuinely really upset.
How many pointless trophies are in existence, do you think?
There must be. Someone made me sign one. Someone came to this gig with their pointless trophy and made me sign it. I don't know if you noticed, but I wrote cunt on the bottom.
But if you just... Do you want just the actual trophy or do you actually want to win it?
I don't mind. I think just the trophy would be fine. But it's,
that's a good deal for someone,
You can get them on eBay. It's been a question of how much you want to pay. I guess I want the glory of winning.
Right, okay. But I think everyone would forget very quickly.
Not me.
No, exactly. Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
Not me. Let's ask you some emergency questions. I'll go to the original emergency questions. Let's go early in the original emergency questions, see what those old days were like. back in the emergency question days.
There's a picture of a penis there.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, thank you.
It's nice. Just as you open the book, I didn't put the pictures in. I don't know why that's there. Probably because there's a question about penises here. Oh, do you know the actor Keith Allen?
Yes.
What would it take for you to fellate the actor Keith Allen?
What would it take? Are we talking money?
Well, whatever. What would you need in return? If Keith Allen came in and said, "Who wants to suck my cock?" I'll give anything for that.
I'd really like to go to Tokyo.
Okay.
On a holiday. That's the one thing I want right now.
Would part of the deal be you had to go on holiday with Keith Allen to Tokyo, fellate him there, would you fellate him and then go? Because what if you fellated him and then he said, "I'm not going to let you go to Tokyo"? You'd have to say, "Keith, come to me with Tokyo. On the last day of Tokyo, I will fellate you." And he could have the passports and the return tickets.
That's a good point. That's a good
point. So he could go, you're not getting these back unless you do it.
But then what if we went on holiday and then I'd had the holiday and I refused to fellate him?
Well, then you couldn't get home. I mean, you'd be stuck.
I could do it.
Yeah?
Yeah. But I would never go back on a deal once it's made.
No, exactly. And, rude. And you don't want Keith Allen as an enemy.
No.
Hunting you down. He's very persistent.
Just think about where in Tokyo I'd choose to fellate him. I'd go in cherry blossom season.
Okay.
I'd go to Disney World in Tokyo.
Yeah.
And fellate him there.
Like in the, just in front of all the families. Or in a private room.
Everyone's
like
got a note. No, what I'd do it in the open. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do it with him in a Mickey Mouse costume.
Well, then no one knows it's Keith Allen. Perfect. Yeah. I'm just fellating Mickey Mouse.
Which, to be honest, is bad.
Yeah.
What age were you breastfed until? Question 5. That's better than 5.
I don't know.
Do you know if you were breastfed?
I don't know. Can you tell from a person's character?
I think you can tell if they're a bit stupid, they probably weren't breastfed. I think there's...
That's powder.
I think it makes you a bit clever, doesn't it? It gives you some superpowers.
Does it?
Yeah.
Well, I got a B and 2 Ds at A level, so would you...
I think probably... Powder. I think your mum gave it a go. You probably weren't latching on very well. It's a horror. Again, like most of the things about parenthood that everyone thinks, it's so wonderful, isn't it? Breastfeeding is one of the worst, and I've not done it.
No.
But I've witnessed the attempt, and it's one of the most horrible things.
What, to get it out of the...
Well, just to get a child onto it is really difficult. It's much more hard than you would imagine.
Yeah.
Am I right, ladies? Yeah. Yeah, one lady agrees with me.
Actually, I think I have...
I'll see you afterwards, and we'll see if we can work it out.
I'm a smoker, so I think that might mean I was breastfed.
Okay.
Because I've got an attachment to putting something in my mouth.
It could be that.
Like Keith Allen's dick.
You might have just been fellating Keith Allen from a young age.
Yeah, it's possible.
He's given these free trips to Tokyo, eh? Who wouldn't? Have you ever seen a ghost?
No.
No?
No.
Do you believe in ghosts?
No. Not interested.
Okay. It's good. That makes you a sensible person. No, it's a proper answer.
I don't like horror films, but I just don't want anything to do with it.
Okay. And this is a question that this is my new Edinburgh question that I've been asking everyone. I think it's a lovely question. Don't want to build it up too high. If you could take one item or painting from any art gallery or museum in the world and take it home and have it for yourself, what item would you covet and take home and own?
What art?
It could be art, it could be a historical artifact, it could be anything that's in a museum. It could be a...
I only ever make, whenever I go to the British Museum, I only ever make it around the Egyptian bit and get bored. So I'd probably choose a tomb or something.
A tomb? It'd be quite handy
like to
get buried in it.
Yeah, you could just lie in it.
I mean, are there pyramids in there? Is there a little pyramid in the British Museum? I love the British Museum.
I'll take a little pyramid.
Yeah, take a little pyramid. Stick that in your garden when you're dead. Get buried in there with all your...
Yeah, I like that.
With all my slaves.
Yeah,
I'd like this. I mean, the Sutton Hoo treasure is probably my favourite thing in the... in the British Museum. Or the bog, that bog body. Is that from the same place? There's a peat marsh, isn't there? The bog body.
They used to terrify me as a kid, mummies, but now I'm into them.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I'd take a little pyramid.
Have you ever been chased down a corridor by a mummy? No, okay. Imagine if you had and you've forgotten about it. We got a brilliant story out of that. That would be amazing. Here's another new emergency question I want to ask people. I think this is quite a hard one, though, so don't worry if you can't answer it.
Okay.
And I can't remember what it is, so I'm going to look what it is. What is the least impressive thing you can spend a lot of money on?
Me, a car, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I bought a car. I was really excited about it.
Yeah.
And then I got it, and it's just so boring.
Right.
It's a Yaris hybrid. I was so excited about having Bluetooth.
Yeah.
And now it's just normal and dull.
Is it? I'm very excited about the entertainment system in my car more than anything else. I don't really like cars.
No.
But I like the fact that I can just plug it in and play podcasts through my speaker really easy. I don't know all cars can do that, but it's really easy.
You get used to that level of comfort quite easily, don't you? And then it's
well, I've got two cars. Because my family does, because I need to travel. Well, I've got an electric car because I care about the world, local travel, and you all should have
one
as well.
Is it a Tesla?
No, it's an e-Golf.
Oh, right, okay.
And I've got a diesel car to drive around in. I've got a big diesel people carrier to take my family away and dump them somewhere and to tour in.
Okay.
And that one doesn't have as good an entertainment system, so I'm really upset. Because that's the one I'm in most of the time.
Oh, really?
It's all right, but yeah, you're right. It was a waste of money.
Yeah.
Could have just got the train. I live in the country. I need two cars. Get over it. Yeah, you're looking at me differently now, aren't you, with my two cars? well, look, we're going to have to... It's been lovely to meet you and talk to you. And I've heard great things about the show. White Knight, to remind us where it's the Pleasance Courtyard.
8:30, Pleasance Courtyard.
Still tickets? Any tickets available?
Fucking tons.
Ladies and gentlemen, give a big round of applause for Sunil Patel, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Oh, what a lovely guy. And as always, I will remind you that you've got a free programme there. That is a gift from me to you. It's free. Someone on Ed Fringe complained that I asked for donations for this. You don't have to make a donation for the programme. See it as a free programme. If you would like to make a donation on your way out, I'm collecting for Scope. I mean, yeah, what a cunt. And they're a brilliant charity that help people with cerebral palsy, trying to get equal rights and access for all disabilities, disabled people. So if you feel like you would like to give some money to that charity on the way out, there'll be some buckets. I'll be sitting at a table on the way out. If you can't find the buckets, you can give the money to me and I'll put it in a bucket for you. And I'm also happy to sign your programme, say hello, and I will be selling some books, emergency question books after the show if you're interested in buying those. But let's crack on.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
My second guest today is probably best known for his two appearances on Lorraine. Yeah, two. Lorraine. I've been on that as well. We might talk about that. Will you please welcome Daliso Chibanda, ladies and gentlemen. Here he is. From Lorraine. Twice.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm doing fabulous.
Good. How was Lorraine? Did you enjoy meeting Lorraine?
It was very good fun, actually. Yeah. She'd been to Malawi. Not many people have been to Malawi.
Wow, okay.
When people think Africa, they go Kenya, South Africa, somewhere with less poverty. But she'd been to Malawi, so we had a lovely chat about that.
Oh, terrific. I was on... I nearly became a regular sort of correspondent on Lorraine.
How did you fuck that up?
Well, because... I did about two or three things. I went on she did a Sky show for a while. I don't know if she still does, called Lorraine, and then she would do an ITV one as well. She worked hard. And I went on and I was quite funny. I was on with Katie Price. I don't want to make this all about me, but fuck it. We'll talk to you later. I was on with Katie Price, the model. And she was, at the time, just got divorced or split up from it. And I told her she should stop hanging around with footballers. And they were like, all the crew were laughing at me.
Yeah, perfect.
So I got invited back on a couple of times and then onto the ITV show. And then they did a thing with Christmas presents. And I was meant to recommend these sort of ironic Christmas presents. And there was one that had a statue of Joseph holding Jesus on his back. And I said, that is good for anyone who's like the adoptive father of any children. They can give that to the step.
Wonderful, yeah.
Because he's not his real dad. And I said a few things like that, and then they never let me back on. I didn't really mind, because I had to get up at like 5 o'clock in the morning, and they didn't pay me.
Oh, they didn't pay you?
No, I think they might give me what? They might give me 50 quid for the taxi or something.
No, that's abuse.
Anyway, that's my... She's lovely. She was very nice,
she's
though.
Lovely.
But
absolutely
I think,
lovely.
I think I just overstepped the mark with her, and that was the end. So, yeah, you're my second Britain's Got Talent contestant on this week.
This week? Yeah. Who was the other? They've been
well,
a lot.
Well, I hate to say it. It was Lost Voice Guy.
It was Lost Voice Guy.
Who won.
Who
was the winner.
But not against me. He didn't beat me.
He was very complimentary about the whole thing. You came third.
I came third.
Which is a pretty impressive.
Oh, yes. I was very happy. Yeah, it's changed my life. It's been good, but yes.
Yeah. Did you have a good time? It's sort of such a... And I guess for you, you were one of the first stand-ups that went on, really?
Yes, literally, I opened the floodgates.
Yeah, yeah.
So I did it a few years ago, 2017. And before that... There'd been comedians on, but they either had a guitar or they had juggling or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was just talking. So after me, everybody was like, I'm funnier than him. So loads of people have gone for it.
But it was a massive breakthrough.
Oh, it was massive.
I mean, you've been working for quite a long time as well. You were starting in Canada.
Yes, it gave me like a second wind because I had just kind of... I'd had one of those early careers full of promise.
Yeah.
And the promise never happened, right? Everyone was like, this year. And then I just gave up and I was like, okay, I'm happy to just be a circuit comic forever because I love comedy. Sure. And then it just gave me a random trampoline late on. And it's been wonderful since.
So you've got a very interesting life story because your dad's a politician.
He's a politician now. He used to work for the UN. He retired, couldn't be retired. And so now... joined the Malawi government and works more than he did when he had a job.
Right. And you were born in Malawi, but you...
No, actually. So we were exiles because we had a bonkers dictator, Kamuzubanda. Yeah. So we were refugees when I was first born.
Right.
When I was first born. Okay. When I was born. Zambia, then Somalia, Kenya. And at some point, my dad joined the UN, so then it became more exotic and we were going to like Thailand and Austria.
Right.
So I'm just a bit of everything.
You've been everywhere.
Everywhere.
And how did you roll up in Canada to start doing
that? That was just university. University. Right. And the way I chose a university was that thing which a lot of people do where you don't have money, is I applied to everywhere and whoever gave me the most money, I'm going there.
Cool. And so what drew you to what were you studying at?
Well, I was studying computer programming, but this was a family thing, right? I wanted to do fiction, write creative writing, and be like the African James Joyce or something like that. And my family was like, "You're a crazy man. Yeah. You're good at math. You're good at physics. Go do something technical." And they sent me to Canada. Little did they know, this blew up in their face because Just for Laughs is there.
Yeah.
And so it derailed everything. And like they would have actually preferred an author to a comedian.
Because you say your influences are George Bernard Shaw. And,
yes, it was. I didn't know stand-up existed. Yeah. So I loved funny books and I wrote funny stories, but I didn't know stand-up existed. I had seen Eddie Murphy's Raw. Yeah. But I didn't know it was stand-up. I just thought it was like a one-man play by that guy from Coming to America. And so when I discovered stand-up in Canada, I remember it blew my head off because I could not believe you could say these outlandish things. Like, I'd grown up in conservative places and there are people talking about bumming their mates and all sorts of, you know, fellatio. And I was like, This is allowed. I was so amazed and delighted.
Yeah, it's like half my audience have been walking out when I talk about stuff like that. So there's still a way to go in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. So it's what was I going to say to you? I had something great about it. Never mind. It's gone. Fuck it. Tell us about your what's your show you're doing this year?
So my show's called Blah Blah Blacklist, and it's about so many celebrities. Not just celebrities, people we idolize, be it politicians, celebrities, have been blacklisted or destroyed their careers either by doing something criminal, like Bill Cosby, tweeting something racist, like a lot of them. And it's just all about these people who've got in trouble. Can we still appreciate their art? But also, why do we even idolize people in the first place? It's not a pope. He's a singer. Do you know what I mean? Why do we admire this person and look up to this person? It's all about that. Because I got tired of yelling at my phone. Because I was like, no, not him as well. No. I love Ignition. You know what I mean? I'm not the only one who's like, that's a damn fine tune, but sang by a horrible human being. It's just one of those things. And it was really actually troubling me a bit, because some of them, like Bill Cosby, was a comedic genius. Yeah. And I felt so bad, and I was like, oh, you can't watch it anymore. And then another person, it just became such a thing. I was like, I have to write about this. I have to talk about this.
And as long as Jimmy Savile didn't do anything, I'm happy. As long as that comes up, I'm going to be so upset. They'll ruin Jim or fix it. I don't really follow the news.
Yes. But what's lovely about it is that I usually have a point to my shows, and I'm usually saying something. This one, I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of like an exercise in being confused and unsure. And sort of, it's nice because the audience also is disagreeing. And it's just very different. Usually my shows, I'm like, this is the testament according to Deliso, and I deliver my gospel. Yeah. This is more like, I don't know. How do you feel about this?
But it is one of those subjects, because some things are fairly clear. You find out someone's an awful human being.
Yes.
And sometimes it's just someone's tweet something without thinking or without understanding the implications. And then it's all those questions about whether they meant it or should have realized it. Or
when are people ready to be forgiven, right? Because one of them, which is pretty contentious, is I do quite a bit about Louis C.K. because he's a comedian, he's a peer, and he used to masturbate in front of people, for anyone who doesn't know. And essentially it comes up in my show, and some people feel he's a horrible human being, he should never be watched again. Other people are like, hey, it's fine now, it's okay, it's been a few years. And it's actually interesting, because they disagree, and I disagree, and it's just been fun, because he's more interesting than someone like Bill Cosby, who everyone's like, we all know, he's a prisoner, he was drugging people.
There's some grey areas, I suppose, with some of it, and it's about your own personal views, but also I think it sort of shows, most people have thought something stupid or done something stupid in their lives. And so I guess the thing that gets to me is that level of judgment.
You think
the people who are judging the most, the people who get really angry, you think, what are you hiding? Because, they're no, especially Christians, because you go, Christianity is about forgiving people.
Exactly. People forget that. Yeah. People forget that bit. And the other thing is that we're all in danger because everybody's a paparazzi now.
Yeah.
If I do something humiliating, the phones go out, right? And it's just, your stupidity is going to last for the next 30 years.
Yeah, it's worrying, and I wish I hadn't recorded so much of the stuff. If you do enough, then...
I'll tell you something funny. So when I did Britain's Got Talent years ago, right? They call you and they ask you to cleanse your social media.
All right.
Right? And they go through it and they mention things. They're like, get rid of this one, get rid of this one. And as a comedian, it's literally, they've got a list of like 50 things. Can you remove that one? Because we are offensive all the time.
Sure, sure.
And it's just one of those things where I'm like, if people are scouring what we did 20 years ago, or if they ever put a mic to record comedians backstage, where our careers are all over.
Yeah. But that's, or will we get to a point where people go, because I think sometimes someone's got a job and then they'll find a tweet they did when they were 16.
Yes.
And it's something awful, but you go, Christ, I've read my diaries from when I'm 16, and if I'd been of a mind to put that online, I would never work again. And I don't think anyone would. You think stupid things when you're 16.
And I actually think things you did, I understand. But things you said, it's very odd to me that haunts you.
Yeah. Oh, well, now you've said that you've cleansed your social media, someone will be able to find the original tweets.
Oh, no, I shouldn't have let this out. It was a lie.
I'm going to destroy you. Oh, that's what I was going to say about with your writing. I mean, this is a tabloid thing, and I don't think they've got it right, have they? But a tabloid saying you'd penned erotic novels, but that isn't exactly the case.
No, it was kind of true. Yeah. I wrote a lot of erotica in in university because it paid. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, they pay per word.
Right.
So I wrote very long-winded erotica. Lots of adjectives. And look, it was just a university job.
Right.
And I needed money, and I was a pervert. So all of these things worked together. And I'm still proud of of it. This is the funny thing, is they wanted me to condemn it, but I was like, it was really funny.
Yeah.
And not a lot of erotica is funny. And so I was like, no, I stand by it.
Can we still get it anywhere? Is it still available?
You can still get it. You can still get it. I foolishly, this was before my dad became a politician. I published it under my own name.
Right.
But, you know.
There's got to be a show in that, and if you haven't done that already...
Oh, I haven't done it. No, I haven't done it. I probably should. I probably should. But again, I don't think there's anything... Because 50 Shades of Grey is mainstream.
Yeah.
I don't think we're the same world when in the 80s someone doing something a little bit sexual would ruin their career. No. I mean, like, literally... 50 Shades, which is pretty rank, is very, very mainstream,
I guess. And you, well, I mean, all comedians have performed at strip clubs, that's another thing.
Yes, exactly. I've heard, and it was actually, I think, a sign of how clean cut I am that the most dirt that the press could find about me was I wrote erotica and I've performed in a strip club. Because I'm religious, I don't do lots of fun stuff, I've never done any drugs or anything. So I'm really a boring person for them to look into, and they must have been like, oh, just get his family. Or something like that. That's not much on me.
And what's Malawi like? I mean, I don't know much about Malawi.
Malawi is currently a bit of a shambles.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a beautiful country, but I mean, we've got like third poorest country in Africa. There have been cyclones, so maybe we've moved to number two. You know what I mean? Like, and politically, you know, there was an election, and then the other people are contesting it, so there's riots and police burning. It's just total chaos.
Yes.
Total chaos.
So like,
and my dad's a politician, and so he's always involved in it, and then I end up involved in it. He was on trial last year, and no one can reach him, so I was getting like rage insults by email, and it's all a mess.
Yeah.
And every time I do a show there, I think I nearly give him a heart attack, because I have to bring it up. No one would respect a comedian who had a family member in the government who, if they did a show, that wasn't at least half of their show.
Yeah.
You have to rip apart the government. So I have to do that. I quite enjoy it.
Yeah.
But either way, I do a lot of political stuff when I'm in Malawi, and it causes a lot of ruckus. I got in trouble with the censorship board once and things like that.
You did a joke about the flag of Malawi?
Yes, they changed the flag.
Right.
They rebranded. Right. It was absolutely... No, honestly, it used to be a rising sun, and we had a government who was like, ooh, we're no longer rising. So they replaced it with the full sun.
Okay.
And so, like any comedian, I just tore this up because it was an absurd notion. And I didn't even do that revolutionary jokes.
No.
I just said, you know, the country's falling apart. You know, we've got strikes. We should turn it to an eclipse. Nothing. Wasn't even that crazy. But that's all it took to have, like, censorship board people coming, and I was possibly going to be arrested. It was nuts. It was nuts.
I mean, that's the thing. I think a lot... I mean, I saw... There was a comedian up here who's I think from a country where it's you're not allowed to be gay, and he does material about that, and you kind of think that's an edgy comedian where you're talking about something where you can actually go to prison or you can end up being executed or whatever that. So it is.
I did material about a gay couple who got in trouble in Malawi in Uganda.
Right.
And it's very interesting because I'd done it in Malawi and got away with it in Uganda. The crowd just turned on me.
Right.
It was absolutely insane. They were much more vociferously, I don't know if I use the right words, but they were very much against homosexuality in that comedy club. I don't know how they were elsewhere in Uganda, but it was really weird because I was like, oh, what can I do now? I've planted my flag. I've got to just keep going.
Yeah, well, but that's, you know, if you believe something, and I mean, that comedy can change minds and can lead to being killed.
In that case, it just led to no more laughter for the rest of my set.
Oh, you can do that without offending anyone.
Yes.
How interesting. Cool. Let's ask you some emergency questions.
Okay.
We'll go Green Book. We're going to go in, going to go deep into the Green Book and see what we find out. Here's a random question. Do you think you would make a good sheriff in the Wild West?
I think I would because of Blazing Saddles.
Yes.
Right? I think that was there a template for me of what to follow. It'd be absolutely great.
Very good. When was the last time you saw a donkey?
Last time I saw a donkey?
Yeah.
Wow, this is amazing. It's been years.
Yeah.
And when I was a kid... I rode a donkey in Somalia. But since then, nothing.
Yeah, since I rode them in Western Superman, which is very similar
Western
to Somalia.
Super-
But I saw one, the last time I saw one was on the 3rd of May 2018 at 12:15 p.m. on the outskirts of Scarborough, exactly when I wrote that question.
But the UK needs more donkeys.
It does.
I will say that, like, cities where in the middle of town they're cars, but also like donkeys and goats are just better.
They are better. It's an interesting thing. I think the donkeys suffered. They were treated badly, the donkeys, by the seaside folk who took them out for walks. And no offence if you're a good one of those seaside folk. I remember the ones in West Supermare, they were kept them in a field and they did look awful. They had a terrible life. But then, because of political correctness gone mad, there aren't any donkeys, are there? Would you rather bring them back
and have, like, instead of a horse racing season, do a donkey racing
season? Yeah, they do. We used to do donkey derbies as well in Somerset.
I thought I was being silly. Somerset's
an awful place. I mean, when your dad sorted out Malawi, he can come to Somerset. Western Supermare isn't in Somerset, and I'm not going to claim it unless the borders have all changed. It might be again. Oh, I hope it's not. I hate those guys. What is the funniest thing that's ever happened to you at a funeral?
Okay. Oh, I know. Yeah. Okay, so I went to a funeral in Malawi, right? And they did this thing I didn't even know. I don't know if it was a superstition or if it was just a thing that happened. So they bring out, everyone starts singing, and they bring out the coffin.
Yeah.
And then they put the coffin in the ground, and they just start covering it really quickly, right, as people are singing. And they have to finish covering the person up before the end of the song.
Right.
And I just remember thinking, what if they don't finish? Well, do they have to put the spades down? And it was just like, it was more my thought train. Being a comedian is a menace, right? No, it's a menace because we think funny thoughts when we shouldn't be thinking funny thoughts. So again, all I was thinking about was, this is like a new game show, cover the coffin, all kinds of silly, humorous things when it's a really tragic situation.
But it's also because it's so, you know, when something's so serious, that is also the moment that comedy
that
really
is
comes
exactly
in. And I think, you know, I've laughed more at funerals than I have, like, almost anywhere else. You go, just something. My grand's funeral, someone was just singing really, really out of tune and out of kilter with everyone else in the row behind us, and me and my sister were just pissing ourselves laughing at this singing.
But I realize that when I pass away, I want my funeral to be funny.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, and you want that's the great thing about having comedians. They'll just come and do your gags and tell stories about you. And I'm like, that's what you want your memorial to be.
It is, and it sort of makes it much sadder when you have been laughing as well. The sadness is...
Yes.
It's really... I went to Sean Hughes's funeral, sadly, he died a couple of years ago, very young, and it was an amazing funeral, but it was so tragic as well, and so sad. And we had all this laughter, and then it really hit you how awful it was.
Yeah.
God. Wish I hadn't mentioned that. Depressed myself. But, you know, it is important. It's important.
Life's
about laughter, isn't it?
Life, yes, it is. And also, I think there's that joy is more joyous because of the pain.
Yeah.
Right? So you miss someone because you love laughing with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's true. Oh.
Okay.
Got a bit philosophical, didn't we? We didn't pay for that, Richard. We paid for stand-up. I didn't even know it was a podcast.
Jokes.
Cool. I'll try and find if there's a lighter emergency question. Okay, this is
now.
Now
I've got a plan. Whatever he asks, I'm going to
make it really sad.
Tragic.
You might be able to do this. What is your most mundane encounter with a celebrity? You must have met quite a few celebrities.
Oh dear.
Have you had a mundane encounter?
Encounter with a celebrity. Oh. I should have thought this through.
No, you can't. That's the whole point.
I can't necessarily. Okay. I'm having a. Who's a celebrity?
Just you. Yeah, that's you. Got so big. You can only think of yourself.
Look in the mirror. No. I've no idea who's a celebrity.
It could be that you can choose this question if you like.
Yes.
It was Richard Herring when he asked me this.
And I just the interesting thing is, like, I suppose it's bad for me because I feel like I don't see celebrities really, because most of the people I see who are famous are comedians, and you just feel like you're one of them.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Was on Lorraine when you were on Lorraine? What other celebrities?
I've got it. I don't know if it was Monday, but I met Pamela Anderson.
Wow,
right? And I couldn't look her in the eyes because I had so much shame. But That was very funny, because that was very funny, but I don't know if it was mundane, but
I think she's probably used to that.
She's very used to that. Everybody who was a teenager when she was on Baywatch, there's lots of shame.
Well, we had Arabella Weir on yesterday, and I just, you know, more people must have looked at people might know here, you might not know, had a catchphrase as, "Does my bum look big in this?" And I would just imagine everyone who ever met her has had, just the first thing they do is look at her bum, which, you know, not because, just because of that.
Just because of that.
So more people probably looked at her bum than her face. I didn't, I just looked at her face because I'm a gentleman. Also, she was sitting down. It was hard to see. Lost Voice Guy was very complimentary about Simon Cowell.
Yes.
Although he took the piss out of him a bit on the show. Was that your experience of him?
He liked me, so I got along great with him. It was wonderful. He's been very supportive. Now, I know that if he hates you, he's very honest about hating you. But because he liked me, I just have wonderful experiences.
Yeah. And do they stay? Because he was saying that there was a great team behind that show and they looked after you. Because the feeling is, when you watch those shows, and especially the pop star ones, I guess, is you feel they're... It's a bit of a machine and people get famous and then chucked out and move on to the next one.
The comedy one, I feel like they stay in touch because, one, every season they want you to come back and do something and be on the More Talent and stuff like that. And because I've been doing well-ish, they're going to stay in touch. I'm sure if I fade into obscurity, they won't answer my messages. But like currently, it's lovely because it's like I'm still one of the alumni who's doing well.
Cool. And what's the best thing you think that's come out of that? What's the best gig or the best...
The best thing was going back to Malawi after doing it. Because you've got to understand, there's almost no big Malawian sort of people on YouTube.
Yeah.
And Malawi had watched it again and again and again and again and again. I mean, like... I had like 100 million views. I'm sure 10 million Malawi. I come off the plane and there are people in Deliso t-shirts singing. Like, my name means blessing. So they're singing a Christian song with my name in it. That was the most fun thing about it, was Malawi went batshit. It was literally... I was there for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And it was so much fun because, again, like, Malawi's unfortunately only ever in the news for depressing things. And so it was lovely that there was this lovely positive story and everyone really got into it. That was it.
Oh, that's terrific. Great. So tell us where your show is on, Blah Blah Blacklist.
Yes, my show's at the Gilded Balloon. Okay. It's in the wine bar at 6:30. And I'm so glad because last year I had delusions of grandeur and I was in a really big room.
Yeah, who'd want to do that?
Yeah, exactly.
Thank God I didn't do that.
It was like this. And there were some days when I was like, okay, like Friday, Saturday, but it was soul crushing on like a Tuesday. So this time I'm in a more realistic room and having a blast.
Well, it's nice. And have you seen it? Have you seen any other shows?
Yes, my favorite show. I went to see The Dinosaur Show with Harriet Dyer, and it's the funniest thing I've ever. It is insane. I don't understand. I as a comedian, I deconstruct jokes. I can't. I don't know what was happening. I was just laughing. It was wonderful. It was wonderful.
Terrific. And who are you sharing a flat with comedians?
Yes, I'm staying with Mandy Mooden and Susan Murray.
Susan is going to be on the show later in the week.
Wonderful,
Is she having a nice time, Susan?
She's having a nice time. It's very up and down. Edinburgh's up and down. But it's a very nice two people to live with because, I don't know, they're not like crazy. A lot of comedians are nuts.
Who would you say is craziest? No, don't answer that question.
No.
Do not answer that question. I don't want to edit the show afterwards. I think it is. No. okay, we'll do. I think we've got time for maybe a couple more minutes. It's nearly out of time. I'll ask you the one about. This might be interesting. I'll ask the one I just asked to Sunil, which is if you could have one item from any art gallery or museum. What item would you like to take home with you?
I would... The Liverpool Slavery Museum
has
got a KKK costume.
Right.
It's my favourite display. It's just so funny going there and standing with white people looking at it. And just, I just love going to... I would take that KKK costume and hop a hole.
You can probably get those online. I don't know if you're going to say that.
They're not authentic. This one has been worn by someone with true hatred.
Yeah,
in
that's
soul.
True. It's a great museum, that.
It's a wonderful museum.
And what I love about it is there's a picture of a slave, like a big oil painting of a slave owner up in the, I think, right as you go in, who will have thought, oh, he's paid loads of money
I'm going to be remembered forever. And
then he's remembered forever on the wall as the exemplar of a slave owner, which is, it's It's great when art works like that. And it does, I suppose, because the history added, you know, I feel there should be like a global warming museum, maybe,
right,
with,
yes,
maybe with all the global warming deniers at sort of sea level. And all the, and then you know, because, yes, I think, like, exactly, someone like Trump is interested in is in how he'll be perceived in the future as much,
oh,
as he's interested,
Lord,
in making money.
Yes.
And so all these things, when the truth is out,
but
as
actually
it is,
imagine in schools they'll talk about the Trump time like the way they talk about the Great Depression.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It'll be like this time which ruined the universe.
Yeah. But he would want to be remembered.
Exactly.
Well.
He'd want to be a Kennedy.
Yeah, the worst thing. I mean, I don't know. It's a strange thing. But yeah, I wonder in 50 years' time how the world will view all of those things. Probably be unable to, due to not being able to breathe or have eyes.
I'm actually more, I don't know, I'm oddly optimistic. And I have faith. And
yeah.
I think that as a whole, with the whole planet, I think the sum is always positive. Right? So look. Yeah, America's starting to fall apart. The UK starting to fall apart. Nigeria on the way up. You will just take over, don't worry.
Well, you know, I think after Brexit, Malawi might go one up
exactly.
In the world.
No, I just think that there's overall this balance. So maybe one empire will fall, but another empire will rise. And maybe we also, I think we'll just switch. Maybe we'll run out of fossil fuels. But what, 500 thousands of years ago, we didn't use them. Mm-hmm. So we'll just go back to the donkeys.
The donkeys, they're back with the donkeys. Yeah, it is. Well, and also maybe science might rescue us.
Exactly.
It might do. But I think I mentioned this the other day, but there was someone saying that all we need to do to halt global warming is to plant as many trees as would fill America, right? But we don't have to plant them all in America.
I think that.
But if you planted trees all over the world to the volume of America,
yep,
that would take off enough carbon dioxide to save us.
And also tree solar panels.
So you'd think that would be doable, but people are such pricks that they probably wouldn't, you know. I'm
no, but
a
we
tree
will
here.
Do it when we have no choice.
Yeah, it might be too late.
I don't think so. You see, we're optimist, no, not even optimist, realist pessimist.
Let's get an oil painting of us done now, the two of us next to each other.
And then we'll know
saying, this
right.
Guy thinks
we'll
this and this right. Guy thinks that.
But
the people in the future.
Whole thing is that you kind of want to be wrong.
Yeah.
And
well,
I want to be right.
I kind of do, yeah. But it'd be great to be, I just like being right so much. We told you so.
As the oceans rise, you're like, yeah, I was right!
Oh, Delisa, it's lovely to meet you. And I've met you before, but it's lovely to see you again. But you're a very funny and clever man. Do go and see his show, ladies and gentlemen. Delisa,
thank you.
We have about another 7 or 8 of these. Do come along and see another one. And I'm on tour if you're at home. So thank you very much. See you at the back. Give some money to Scope. Thank you. Bye. You have been listening to Hullerstopper at the Edinburgh Fringe with me, Richard Herring. Thank you to Pest for providing the music. Thank you to everyone at the Newtown Theatre and The Stand. Everyone at GoFasterStrike.com. The producer is James Hingley. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz at GoFasterStrike.com production. Go to rehearlastopper.co.uk to find out more. richardherring.com/gigs to find out who my guests are for the rest of the run.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Thanks for listening. Go to GoFasterStripe.com for all your Rich Herring download and book needs. Go to richherring.com/gigs to find out if Can I Have My Ball Back is coming near to you. And please listen to as many podcasts on this feed as you possibly can and make your family and friends and children and strangers, make them listen too. Do get consent from everyone before you make them listen, though. All right, thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Bye-bye.